Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau Police Department has released the name of the officer who slammed a man to the ground last month during an arrest. The department says it also plans to release the body-worn camera footage from the incident at the end of this month. The officer's name is Brandon LeBlanc. He started his position in Juneau last fall. The department placed him on paid administrative leave following the incident on July 30th. The department says LeBlanc has 17 years of law enforcement experience. Before beginning his position in Juneau, LeBlanc worked as an officer in Louisiana. While there, court documents show that a man sued LeBlanc in 2016 for excessive force and battery, among other accusations. The man claimed he received a broken jaw and was unlawfully tased by LeBlanc during an arrest. LeBlanc testified during the trial that the man was punching another officer and that he tackled and tased him when he resisted arrest. A jury found LeBlanc not guilty. During the arrest of the Juneau man last month, a witness recorded a video that circulated widely online. It showed LeBlanc attempting to handcuff the man, then throwing him to the ground. The man appeared to lie unconscious for the remainder of the video and was later medevaced out of town with a head injury. Dozens of Juneau residents gathered at the police station days after to protest LeBlanc's actions. The Juneau Police Department requested an independent investigation by an external agency to review LeBlanc's use of force. That investigation is still ongoing. Once it's finished, the State Office of Special Prosecutions will then review the case to determine if LeBlanc was justified in his response. The city says it will also conduct an internal investigation of the incident to examine whether his actions aligned with the department's current policy. In May, the Juneau Assembly passed an ordinance mandating that the Juneau Police Department release body-worn camera footage no more than 30 days after a police officer's actions caused serious injury. That means the footage will be released on August 29th. Juneau officials are still assessing the damage from this year's glacial outburst flood. Back Loop Bridge remains closed after floodwater scoured part of the bank. The Alaska Department of Transportation says the bridge will be closed while they assess the damage. City officials reported today that no residents lost access to drinking water during the flood, and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation says there were no pollution concerns. The United Way is set up in Melvin Park in the valley from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday to help residents impacted by flooding with requests for volunteer help with everything from pulling out wet insulation to moving sandbags. They can also provide meals. As the damage assessment becomes more clear, local officials will provide more information on individual assistance on Friday. A press conference is scheduled for 11 a.m. KTOO will carry it live online at ktoo.org/flood. And school districts across the state use summer school as a way to help students struggling to read to get ready for the fourth grade. The requirements are part of the Alaska Reads Act, and Juneau students appear to be showing some improvements. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
Tyler made a pretty big splash, but his friends made bigger ones.
Beautiful! James, finish this.
The friend had lots of fun.
Teacher Janelle Andrega leads a small six-person reading group at Thunder Mountain Middle School. She calls on students Astrid King and James Lemons one at a time to read short sentences off a large projector screen. James and Astrid stuck around after class to talk with KTOO about going to summer school. They had differing opinions.
I hate summer school.
You hate summer school?
Except science.
Okay.
I really like summer school, actually. Because here, if I finish a level, I get a prize.
Astrid says she got small, squishy, or stuffed toys as prizes. The two students are rising fourth graders at different elementary schools, but they both went to summer school to work on their reading skills. For 3 weeks in July and August, they spent their mornings rotating between reading classes with a science class to break up the day. Andrega is normally a special education teacher at Sit-Itish-Anach Glacier Valley Elementary School, but she taught summer school this past summer. She says working with students in small groups has been really helpful.
It's been really nice to really have the small group and being able to hone in and work individually if needed. I give lots of praise to individual kids and I can really listen to them reading versus like the big large classrooms. It's hard to get individual with the kids.
While she tries to keep things fun, Andrega says the focus is still on improving their reading skills.
They are here because they're struggling readers, so they need to really hone in on their reading skills to help prepare them for fourth grade.
Summer school is a part of the Alaska Reads Act, a state law passed in 2022 that aims to get every student reading at grade level by the end of third grade. Students can move on to fourth grade if they meet reading requirements or by getting a waiver that requires summer school or tutoring in order to move up. The most recent state data from the 2023-2024 school year showed more than 30% of Juneau School District third graders were well below the reading benchmark by the end of the year. That's slightly lower than the statewide rate. But things are looking better this year. Kristen Garreau is the Juneau School District's Director of Teaching and Learning Support. She says fewer students needed a waiver to move on to fourth grade this year, down from more than 30% to about 25%. Garreau attributes a lot of that to teachers using the new reading curriculum more effectively with the district's youngest students.
We are seeing stronger results, especially from our younger students now who are then going to move up. So I'm not surprised to see a decrease in the number of students who are well below, and I hope to continue to see that decrease over time.
Data from the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development for the 2024-2025 school year shows more students statewide are reaching reading proficiency by the end of the school year. Some parents and guardians appreciate the opportunity for their children to work on reading during the summer. James's grandma and guardian, Michelle Brainerd, says he still struggles with reading, but she's hopeful he'll show more of an interest in it soon.
We're always trying to find that one book, you know, that kind of piques his interest, because I keep telling him, when you find that right book, I said, then you're going to love or enjoy reading.
On top of summer school, Brainerd purchased the same reading software the district uses. While James struggles with reading, his grandma says he loves math, so she uses math software to incentivize him to practice reading.
We have set it up to where before he can do the math part, since he loves it so much, that he must do at least 30 minutes of the reading before he starts doing the part he really enjoys and will spend hours doing.
Senator Lukey Tobin, an Anchorage Democrat, worked on the Reads Act as a legislative aide in 2022. She says the policy has been a great first step in improving outcomes for students, but she hopes the state will work harder to get feedback from educators and stakeholders to improve its implementation. She also says education funding is a big component to ensure schools can effectively teach students.
Without adequate funding for our public schools, it's difficult to support quality implementation of policy when you have 20, 30 kids in a classroom and a teacher who is trying to serve the 10 to 15% of her kiddos who are struggling to learn to read.
Students around the state are headed back to school this week. In Juneau, the school year starts Friday. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And white supremacist activity in Alaska has dramatically increased this year. That's according to a group that tracks extremism. Alaska Public Media's Hannah Floor has the story.
Morgan Moon is with the Anti-Defamation League. She says, historically, white supremacist groups have not been very active in Alaska, but that is changing.
These groups seem to be growing, becoming emboldened. I expect these numbers to continue growing, their membership growing, and then that could potentially lead to an increase in criminality.
She says she tracked only 9 incidents across the entire state from 2017 through last year. But in just the first 6 months of this year, she's logged 21. And those incidents don't include July. Moon says she has yet to analyze what seems to be a big uptick in the last month. Most of the already logged incidents were in Anchorage, but Moon says they're happening in other places too, like Kodiak and Kenai, Wasilla and Palmer. She says those incidents included 2 in-person events. The rest involved putting stickers or other propaganda in public places. And Moon says propaganda is just the first indicator of an extremist presence.
Very quickly, it turns into demonstrations, in-person events. And then as that increases, we often will see an increase within criminality.
Chris Barazza with the Anchorage Police Department says they have not had any calls about white supremacist incidents in the city. That's not surprising. Moon says Alaska hasn't seen a lot of white supremacist activity compared to the rest of the country. But she worries Alaska will follow a pattern she's watched play out in other states where activity has been increasing for years and where propaganda has eventually turned into criminal behavior, including vandalism and harassment, and in some cases, violence. Like the white man who killed 10 black people in Buffalo, New York in 2022 to prevent, quote, eliminating the white race. Moon says the increase in white supremacist incidents in Alaska is likely due to the formation of a new white supremacist group earlier this year.
This is the first time that I have tracked a white supremacist group that has formed in the state in recent memory. But what's happening is that this group formed. It's gathering individuals of shared beliefs and ideologies that are then going out and putting up these stickers and holding these training events.
Las Frontier Active Club is part of an international network of active clubs. It was launched in early 2021, but the Alaska-specific group just formed in January. Members use physical fitness to prepare for what they see as an imminent race war. The other white supremacist group that the Anti-Defamation League is tracking in Alaska is called Patriot Front. It formed in 2017 and is one of the most prominent white supremacist networks in the country. The group's ultimate goal is to form a new nation state that caters to white men. Moon says there are some commonalities between the two groups.
These groups are frequently talking about things like the Great Replacement Theory. This idea that the white race is facing genocide or is being replaced by immigrants. And they often will talk about a range of other white supremacist theories. This idea that they need to make a white ethno nation state here in the United States.
Moon says the propaganda the two groups are placing around Alaska is not always obviously white supremacist. Las Frontier Active Club stickers have a moose head superimposed over a cross in a circle. Patriot Front propaganda often has slogans like Reclaim America and Forward for a New American Nation State, along with photos of masked men and baseball caps. Moon says the reason the men are masked is because anonymity is a key strategy that makes it hard for her to know how many people are involved in Alaska. But she says photos from one gathering of the Las Frontier Active Club show at least 6 members. Moon says that anonymity and the lack of overt symbolism represent a new kind of white supremacist movement, one that's a lot more careful with their optics.
They want to attract a more mainstream audience versus groups like the Klan, you know, that were burning crosses and wearing robes. They were basically attracting an audience that was already bigoted and extreme.
But she says the new groups want to recruit people first and then radicalize them. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Flohr.
And as for the weather, it's currently 66 degrees and fairly sunny this afternoon. You're listening to KTOO.